with our part two from our theme of the month, which is not famous faith, genuine faith. Genuine faith. Well, there is a word from the Lord today. If you could turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8. We're going to read verses 9 through 24, okay? It's a couple of scriptures. If you're there, just say amen. Amen. And I'll be reading from the NIV version. Now, for some time, a man named Simon, just say Simon, had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. Verse 10. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." Verse 11. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Verse 13. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. Verse 15. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. But check this out. In verse 16, the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John, in verse 17, placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hand, he offered the money. Verse 19, and said, "Give me also this ability, that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." Verse 21, "You have no part or share in this sickness, and pray because your heart is not right before God." 22, "Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart." 23, "For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." The last and final verse, "Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." If you can just bow your heads. Father God, we just thank you for speaking to us today, Lord Jesus. We thank you for showing us, Father God, that genuine faith is what you've called us to have. And that it takes a relationship, and it's a long journey with you to establish genuine faith and to grow it. And though when trials and tribulations come to us, Father God, that we shouldn't lean on worldly logic, Lord, but we should connect to that genuine faith that connects to you. Thank you for speaking to us this morning, Father God, in your Son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. The scriptures today is an interesting scripture, right? And maybe you've heard of it or read of it before. But today we find an interesting situation. And in today, with my sermon, I want to keep the same thing. Not famous faith, genuine faith. Can we just say that one time together? Not famous faith, genuine faith. But today we find an interesting situation in Samaria. A man named Simon the sorcerer, he practiced sorcery, and he amazed all these people of Samaria, the rich people and the poor people. In the word of God, it says that they gave him his attention, and they said this phrase, "This man is rightly called the great power of God. Simon, the great sorcerer." The Samaritans followed Simon the sorcerer until, can you just say until? Until Philip came preaching the gospel and the good news. And through Christ. If you could turn really quick to Deuteronomy 18, you can write it down. They'll pull it up. Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. As I build this case on not famous faith, but genuine faith. And write this down and read it later when you get home. Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, starting in verse 9. It says, "When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of these other nations." Verse 10, "Let no one be found among you sacrificing their sons and daughters in fire." So God is telling his people, don't sacrifice your sons and daughters in fire. "Who practices divination or sorcery." Oh, there it is. He's telling his people, don't practice sorcery. "Interprets omens, engages in witchcraft." Oh, verse 11, God is telling, don't be casting spells on people. "Or who is a medium?" Don't go to a medium or a spiritist or those who consult the dead. "Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out these nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God." So we see we shouldn't be calling that number late at night trying to talk to our cousin that we miss, right? Simon the sorcerer practiced what? Sorcery. So we see that the Samaritans, it's apparent that the Samaritans were lost and extremely engaged in a world of sin. Amen? Just say until. Until what? Until the church proclaimed the good news of Christ. Samaritans, check this out. It touched the heart of Simon the sorcerer. That's some good preaching. And in verse 13, we see in Acts 8, 13th chapter, we see Simon himself, this great sorcerer. He lays down his sorcery. And it says Simon believed and was baptized. Just say amen. Amen. And he followed Philip, who was preaching this gospel. He followed him everywhere, right? And it says he was astonished. Who? Simon. Simon was astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. See, Simon had fame and fortune, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't the truth. His soul longed for more. Listen, I don't care what demonic, satanic, witchcraft practices that you may be doing. God still loves you, and he's waiting for you to put it down and pick up his word. He's waiting for you to believe in Christ, for Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can go to the Father but through him. Do I have people that know that you used to be lost, but you can wave your hand and thank God that now you're found? I mean, you were involved in some stuff that you don't want nobody to know. But thank God that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. But I'm so glad, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not yourselves, for it's the gift of God. Ephesians 2, verse 8. I'm grateful that we serve a God that will save us
if we cry out to him. No matter where our bed is, if you cry out to Christ, he'll answer your cry. No matter what you have, it won't satisfy. That's why the word of God said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because the Lord is the only one that's going to satisfy. See, Simon became a new believer because Philip preached the gospel. You that used to be lost, but now you're found, guess what? Preach the gospel. Preach the goodness of God and how he saved you from your sins. And if you do that, I promise that witch will put down witchcraft. If you do that, I promise that sorcerer will put down sorcery. If you do that, I promise the drunkard will put down alcohol. If you do that, I promise the adulterer will be faithful to his wife. Why? Because you preach the gospel. It's not because of power. It's not because of might. It's by the Spirit of God. And if you can be like Philip and let the Spirit of God speak through you, lives will be changed. Because God is a redeemer. No matter what you've done or what you're in, God will redeem you. Just clap it up if you're enjoying this so far, House of Judah. I promise. Just say, come on, just echo with me. Not famous faith, but genuine faith. Faith, simply, is just trust and believing in something. Notice I said something. I didn't say God, I just said something. Because if the truth be told, we can put our faith in anything. It just connects you to whatever you think is going to come through for you. So faith is just simply belief and trust. In verse 14, Acts, the 8th chapter, verse 14, we see that the apostles hear this good news that the Samaritans are believing in the word of God. Remember, Samaritans were half Jews. They were a mixed breed. So they weren't far off from knowing about this Jesus, who he was. Why? Because Jesus was a Jew. Jesus in chapter 5, he meets the woman at the well, correct? And she says, man, I met this man who told me everything about me. Yeah, you got a lot of husbands, and the one you with ain't your husband. And she does what? She runs back and she starts to tell people, right? So Jesus wasn't a foreign topic or name. But here we see in verse 14, the apostles see that the Samaritans are receiving the word and they're being baptized and have accepted the word of God. So they send Peter and John, just say Peter and John. They send the OG, triple OGs to Samaria. And once they arrive, Peter and John, they pray for the new believers. They prayed that the new believers would receive the Holy Spirit. Peter and John did something interesting. They placed their hands on them. And these new converts received the Holy Spirit. Can't you just see a line of people? In the name of Jesus. They're receiving the Holy Spirit. And in verse 18, watch this. Simon saw what Peter and John were doing. So he did something that you would never do. Simon offers Peter and John money, saying, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter goes off on him. Remember, they was like, Peter, don't you know Jesus? And he got to the point, he cussed them out and said, no, I don't. Is that in the Bible? Is that what he did? So we know Peter probably wanted to go off on him. Oh, we too holy today. Peter looked at him and went off on him, saying, may your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. In verse 22, he says, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hopes that he may forgive you, Simon, having such a thought in your heart. When Simon tries to purchase the gift of imparting the Holy Spirit by the laying of hands, check this out, House of Judah. When he's doing this, when he's trying to purchase this, he's not trying to purchase it as Simon the sorcerer. I believe we so often think that. He's not purchasing it as Simon the sorcerer that's practicing sorcery. He's purchasing this and trying to buy this as Simon that believes now. As Simon that has been baptized now. Good gracious. He's doing this sinful act as a new convert in a believer of Christ. See, being a new convert is a dangerous place to be in. Can I say that again? Being a new convert of Christ is a dangerous place to be in. Because you're in the right place, which is trying to follow God, which is trying to do the right thing. You're in the right place, but you haven't yet established genuine faith equals proven faith equals genuine faith. And my dad, Pastor Goldsmith from King David Baptist Church, if he was here, he would say, a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. See, though new converts are in the right place, they lack roots in God. Good gracious. You have roots. Everyone has roots. Before that new convert, the roots are rooted in other things. They depend on these other things before they depend on God. What do I mean by roots? A plant has roots that keep them rooted through storms. But for new converts, they haven't experienced being rooted in God yet. Amen? They have their roots in things like money, their job, their career, drugs, hustling, worldly logic. They have roots, but it's rooted in resources. It's not rooted in the source. So when times get hard, you turn to your roots, and your roots are rooted in money. When times get hard, you turn to your roots, but your roots are just rooted in your job, your medicine. But all those things are resources that could never satisfy and that could never deliver you, but only being rooted in God. Because the worldly logic sounds good and feels good and it makes sense to your flesh. But in Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to get your roots out of the world and get it into God. That's why we need experienced mentors that can help believers follow the guidance of Christ. When Simon said, hey, I imagine he had a good amount of money. He was a pretty good sorcerer. A pretty little rich and the poor following him. So this money that he's offering, I'm pretty sure it wasn't a pretty little penny. It was a pretty little quarter. But a good mentor in Peter looked at him and said, young man, repent. Because you don't even realize what you're doing. Sadly, what we found in the church is what I personally would like to call a Hollywood spirit. The church has become infested with famous faith. Good gracious. Just as Simon now is a believer, he still was rooted in famous faith. We find the same thing today. So many people. Remember, Simon is inside of the church now. So many people in the church. So many people out of the church. We see they're searching for fame and for fortune. Good gracious. See, famous roots are rooted in a worldly logic. A rap group, I know y'all holy, but a rap group by the name of the Lox, they said it like this. First come the money, then come the power, and then comes the respect. Because in the world, that's how it goes. Simon the sorcerer was used to getting the money. Simon the sorcerer had the respect of the Samaritans. So Simon had power, right? Worldly power. But now he's laid that down and he believes in the word of God and the power and the respect and the platform that he used to have. Now he's the one in the crowd. And the platform he used to have, the people are going to Philip now. They're going to Peter, John. So this little small trial that he's going through, of feeling like he's not important as a pastor, feeling like he's not important as the worship leader, he doesn't have a microphone in his hand. The small trial he's going through, in this small adversity, he goes back to his roots. Good gracious. He goes back to his worldly logic. I know money means a lot in the world. So I know it's going to mean a lot in the church. Let me purchase what I don't have the character to persevere through and grow. Let me purchase what God hasn't given me because it's going to take time. As a sorcerer, Simon had this platform. But as a believer, as a new convert, he's lacking this power and this respect. So many believers think the same today. So many people lust for platforms. The church has found itself wanting to become celebrities, celebrity-like, instead of Christ-like. We're too busy trying to make followers instead of trying to make disciples of Christ. How many people have you led to Christ? Not how many followers do you have? How many people have you inspired to make them forgive and love the person that molested them versus how much money you have, how many awards you have, how many people know who you are. Jesus had no social media, but his impact is still felt today because he didn't make followers. He made disciples. He didn't embrace the platform. He embraced the pain. So many people lust for the platform, but they don't want faith that was used to lay on the hands. But he didn't know the pain that would be compensated to him for having to live for God. See, it takes overcoming trials by trusting in God to develop genuine faith. See, in Acts, the 8th chapter, Simon wants to pay for the genuine faith of Peter and John. But he didn't see it. Acts 4, a couple of chapters prior, Peter and John were standing in front of the Sanhedrin, and they were beaten and flogged for preaching the gospel, preaching about Jesus to where a lame man was healed. See, Simon wanted the platform that they had, but Simon didn't want the pain that it came with the platform. People chase clout. People want the glory. The church is infested with people that want the glory, that want the name, but they don't want the story. See, they want the platform, but they don't want the trials that come that establish the genuine faith. Am I preaching to anybody in here today? See, only through genuine faith can you overcome trials, tribulation, and pain. But when you lean on God's word and trust him through trials and pain, he will then grow your roots in him. And then you will establish genuine faith. This faith, it can't be purchased. It can't be given by men. It can only be produced through trusting in God with unfringed trust and belief when storms arise. See, Mark 8:36 says, what will it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his what? His soul. He had the money, the power, the respect, but his soul was still lacking. See, when he heard Philip start to talk about Jesus, he knew, let me put it this way, the Samaritans thought what he had was real, but Simon knew it was fake. Baby, when you're presented with the truth, you know, oh my goodness, I have everyone else full with how I sing and how God has given me these gifts. But baby, you know you have to dig deep to say my soul is longing for more. And that you're longing for, I'm here to tell you that God is right here and he's right here to accept you so that you can develop a genuine faith. But this genuine faith is not going to produce a platform. This genuine faith is going to produce pain. Why? Because the pain is worth more than money. It's worth more than silver and gold. Because if you can learn how to embrace the pain, you've learned the secret of life. If you can learn how not to quit, you've learned the secret of life. Not if you can get the most money. If you learn how to go to a job and stand in the midst of people that don't like you, that talk about you, you want to quit. If you can learn how to continue to persevere, you've learned the secret of life. Do I have any older saints, any experienced saints that's been through some things that can wave your hand, that can stand up and say, baby, I know it's only through staying with God through pain. It's only through staying with God through storms. It's only through staying with God when the doctor told me I had cancer. It's only through staying with God that gives me the genuine faith.
Yes. Amen.
That can't be purchased.
Amen.
We must have genuine faith on this walk with God. Because only through genuine faith can Abraham, with walking through his son, know God is going to provide a ram in the bush. Only through genuine faith can David, in the midst of a giant, with his family terrified, his king terrified, can he remember, God help me destroy the lion? Only through genuine faith could he defeat Goliath. Only through genuine faith could the same David that defeated Goliath be in a dark, cold cave running from death. Running from his children trying to kill him. Running from Saul trying to kill him. Only through genuine faith can David tap into what he needed to persevere. Only through genuine faith can you hear bad news but still know God's got my back. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It's not money. It's not a platform. It's not having a name for yourself. It's through the sincerity and genuineness of connecting your faith with God. Will God get you to the right place at the right time in the season of your life? Don't be like Simon. Laying back on what you knew was familiar to you. Stand on the word of God. And don't tap into famous faith, worldly logic. Stand on the genuine faith of Christ and God. House of Judah, if you could stand to your feet and clap it up for the word of God today. I pray that the Lord spoke to you today. And that he gave you just what you needed to keep running, to keep going. Don't fall for the trap. If I got to make a name for myself, I got to make my name great. That's the world we live in, right? You got to have your social media right. You got to have your brand right. Is that the world we live in? Let God be the greatest manager that you could ever have. Let God be the greatest PR team that you could ever have. Don't be confused with the gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit versus the fruit of the Spirit. You only judge a tree by the fruit that it bears, not by the gifts. This is a whole nother sermon. But imagine I was a Christmas tree under the Christmas trees were gifts, right? I'm not judging that tree by the gifts underneath it. I'm judging the tree by the fruit that it bears. The Hollywood spirit says the gifts that I could do for the church gives me value. The ability to sing gives me value. The ability to preach gives me value. That's a famous faith, because that's going to make a name for me. It's not the gifts that are connected to that tree. It's not the gifts under the Christmas tree that's connected to it. The gifts are separate from that tree. And the gifts are given without repentance. It's nothing you could do to take away that ability to sing. It's nothing you could do to take away that ability to preach, because it was given to you by God. But only through genuine faith and staying connected to Christ can you get the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, peace. You can only grow the roots. You can only grow love by having to be around people that you really hate. It's pain that's involved in genuine faith. There's a platform involved in famous faith. Today, as we pray, whether you're on social media, whether you're in here physically today, I believe in my heart that the Lord has spoke to you. And me personally, I'll never ever know, because it's not for me to know, because the Lord is starting a walk with you. That's beautiful. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed, Father God, thank you for showing us, one, how we're so similar to this Simon the sorcerer. Thank you for showing us, just as he started to connect back to what he knew and the mentality he knew, we too do the same thing. We say things like, where I come from, we did it like this. Where I was raised from, this is how we handle things. God, if the truth be told, those are not your words. It's not your way. It's not what you've called us to do. So, Father God, I pray that we put down the worldly logic, Father God. We put down the things that we try to do to expedite the process, that we try to do to speed it up. Because if the truth be told, Peter and John, it took them a long time to get to the point where they were standing and laying on hands and the Holy Spirit was imparted. There's no money in the world that could make Simon purchase the experience that it took for them to get there. The relationship with you it took for them to get there. So, Father God, show us that it's a journey, Father God, that you have us on. Lord, when we're impatient and we think we're not what we're supposed to be, just slow us down. Lord, I pray that you remind us that we remember that you have us in a perfect season and a perfect time. For you know the plans that you have for us, says the Lord. You said you have plans to prosper us. Lord, I pray for House of Judah. Lord, we rebuke the Hollywood spirit that may enter here. because it's trying to enter every church. It's trying to make us think that we're not significant because a certain amount of people are not there. We're not significant because our social media is not doing a certain amount of this, a certain amount of that. But God, we say thank you for allowing us to breathe again. And as long as we have breath in our body, we have a faith in you to know we're in the right place at the right time. And we're allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way. And you will move how you want to move. You will touch the hearts of who you want to touch, God. And just as Philip preached the gospel, Lord, we'll continue to do it. And we'll believe, God, as you tell us what to say. Those witches will put down witchcraft. As you tell us what to say, the drunken will put down alcohol, God. As you tell us what to say, those college students and you, Father God, will deliver them from all. Lastly, Father God, I pray, Lord, whether they're listening, social media, are they in here, Father God, I pray for new converts, Lord Jesus, that you surround them with mentors, Father God, that will correct them, that won't be yes men, that will do what Peter did and say, repent, because that's not the right thing. They will be mentors, Father God, that will show them the ways of Christ and how we operate on this walk of Christ, how the church operates to show the love of God. Lord, I pray lastly, somebody's going through something that they need this week, Lord Jesus. I'm believing with them, Lord. They're covered in your blood, Father God. I'm believing with their prayer, Lord Jesus. Touch them, God. They already have genuine faith. I'm just reminding them to keep going. Think about what he's done for you before and keep going. Thank you, Father God, that is already done in your son, Jesus' name, Lord. Because every good and perfect gift comes from you, Father God. We thank you in advance, Father God, for you working out in their lives, Lord Jesus. If anyone is not saved today, and you would like to be saved, and today could be your day, just as Simon started to follow Christ, this could be your day today. If you just lift your hands, we'll pray with you and begin to start a journey with you of leading you to Christ. This is you today. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking us today, Father God. In your son Jesus' name, let's just say amen. 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 We can clap it up, House of Judah, for the word of God today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.